I love Notions, and I'm guessing that you do too. Hey there, friend, it's Carolina Moore, your favorite sewing and quilting YouTuber and now podcaster, here with another episode.
So welcome, welcome. Today I have Calista with me, and she's with Wonderfill, which is an amazing thread company. I first came across them at Quilt Market years and years ago, and I like wandering aisles and just talking to people, and Calista was just super friendly, and she just started chatting with me, and then she knew the products really well, which I always love. Product experts and thread and needles are two areas of quilting that I am not a subject matter expert in yet. I don't know, maybe one day. And Calista was able to walk me through all of that. And then I found out, oh yes, her family owns this company, which was just incredible. So I've invited her on. Most of our guests are people who've actually invented a notion, but I thought it'd be fun to have someone on who just has all the background of a notion as part of a family-run business. So, Calista, do you want to get started with your history and then the history of the company a little bit?
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. I'm so excited to be on your podcast and talk more about our threads. It's a topic that I'm very passionate about. So as you know, every time we sit down and chat, we go on and on about like threads and all the different things. So
yes,
tell me if I'm running on too long today.
Not possible.
Okay.
I want to hear all the
things. So just feel like I should just kind of, I guess, like recap my background a little bit. So you kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, which is I work for my family's business. It's Wonderfill Specialty Threads. And actually, the company was started by my parents. And I think the brand has existed for about 23 years. I think it started right around the year 2000, because I have memories of being like a kid making like thread packs in the kitchen when I was young.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that was kind of like my earliest involvement with the business. But throughout junior high or like high school and university even, I didn't think that I would actually work for the company. I thought I would kind of like, you know, do my own thing and carve my own path. But after I finished school and I moved back to Calgary, I was kind of trying to figure out what to do. And I kind of just slowly became more and more involved with the business. And it just kind of became one of those, oh, kind of like try it out for a year and it becomes two and three. And now I think I'm 8 or 9 years down the road now with Wonderfill. And so I've always kind of been up more on the marketing side of things, but that's why you always see me at trade shows and that sort of thing. And now I do sew and quilt and do hand embroidery as well, which were all new hobbies that I picked up after I started working here.
Yay, we brought you into the quilty cult. Woohoo!
I know. I was like, I just don't feel like I'll know how to relate if I don't learn how to do it. But, you know, I've honestly like grown to appreciate it so much. Just like not just like doing it myself, but like the work that I see all the time at these like quilt shows from like all these different creators or online and things like that. It's really awesome to see. And I just love hearing the stories behind it as well. So I definitely feel like the people more than anything have really kept me like in this industry.
I 100% agree. Quilters are some of the best people to be around. If you have to be around people all day long, definitely pick quilters. They're just phenomenal. But okay, So you kind of absorbed yourself into the family business, or the family business like absorbed you into it is probably more accurate.
One way or another.
right? It was a destined match. But do you like, why thread? Where did a thread company start from? How does one say, I want to start a thread company?
Well, the story as I know it is that, I mean, our background definitely wasn't in anything like even really textile before, but my family did some like trading, and one of the products that we traded was thread. And I think that was a very interesting product and like industry that my dad kind of thought of. And then so he kind of explored more into it. And that's really how we got into things. And at first we were more on the industrial side of things, but then we kind of ended up going more towards like the hobby industry rather than like industrial. And it's been such a fun ride. I mean, working with people that love to sew versus like making threads that just kind of go in garments and things like that on the back end of things is definitely way more fun and colorful.
So when you say the industrial side of things, you mean like you would work on the company was making those big cakes of thread yes. that go into the big industrial machines on big sewing floors where they're making shirts and pants and all those kinds of things?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So all of us who went through the pandemic, which really is everyone listening here, knows that with toilet paper, right? We had an issue with toilet paper early on in the pandemic. And part of it was because everyone working at home needed like the smaller rolls of toilet paper that fit at our homes and at our offices or like corporate buildings. There are those big industrial size rolls. So it really is a process. You can't just switch from, oh, we're making these giant cakes of spools to we're making consumer size spools, right?
Yeah, I guess that's true. But, you know, I'm not going to be able to speak on this super well because this okay. kind of happened when I was like a lot younger. So I'm not really sure how that kind of switch happened. You know, I mean, these are good questions for me to ask as well. I guess I should know a little bit more about our history.
No. I just think it's interesting because like, yeah, you know, your brain goes to, oh, it is all like toilet paper is all toilet paper and thread is all thread. And okay, that might be the case, but how we consume toilet paper and then how we consume thread are going to be like, if someone were to deliver a giant cake of thread and they're mm-hmm. called cakes. I'm saying that right. Right. Do you know?
I think there's, I still think they're like spools or cones. Okay. You would call them.
So yeah, one of those giant, like several pound massive things. Right. I can't put that on my sewing machine and collapse my poor machine.
No, not at all. And actually, you do have to think about different elements of making the thread when it's going on in industrial versus like regular. So like kind of just like domestic sewing machine, something that you and I would have in our sewing rooms, because like the speed at which like industrial machines work at, it's like a lot faster. So there's actually some threads that just wouldn't work at those speeds. They would probably break all the time. So there's more limited options, I would say, in terms of like what you can produce for industrial threads. Like you wouldn't be able to like use our Invisifil like on an industrial machine, probably. That'd be like way too fast for the thread. It would probably cause it to break and stuff like that. But even just like how long these machines operate for as well, they get really hot. And that's kind of like another thing that you have to think about as well, that you don't really have to be so concerned with on just, you know, machines that we have in our homes.
So when we're talking about thread, and you mentioned Invisifil, which I definitely want to talk about later because it's one of my favorite products that y'all have. But you hear about long staple, right? And so yeah. If there's long staple, I assume that there's short staple as well. What does that all mean? When someone says, oh, this is a long staple fiber?
Yeah. So usually you talk about like long staple when we're talking about like cotton and things like that, because cotton thread is made out of like staple fibers that come from like the plants, right?
Or like the cotton ball. It's those like the filaments are then the staples?
Yeah. Like it's just like a tiny,
like a
fiber
hair.
Thread. Yeah, it's very fine. And so even when you're talking about long staple, like the fibers aren't very long at all. They're not like 6 inches or like a foot or like even longer or anything like that. They're actually quite short. Long staple cotton is usually about like 1.5 to 2 inches per each fiber. And then you take all these fibers and twist them together, that becomes the thread. And the reason why this term is often kind of like marketed along with a high quality thread or cotton thread is because the longer the staple fibers, the stronger that thread is going to be, right? Because like there's more grip with a longer piece of, if you kind of just like blow up an image of what that would be, if you have like a longer section of like rope or something like that and you twisted it with another one, it would be a lot stronger than using like short sections of rope, twisting them all together. And as well, it's not going to be as linty when you use a longer fiber.
Oh, interesting. Like I knew that like the longer staples woven together, it's like a more points of friction, more points of connection along a longer staple that keep that thread stronger. But I didn't know that it was less linty if you have longer staples.
Yeah. If you think about it, it's kind of like the same thing. Yeah. It's like more points of contact, more friction. That's for sure for the strength part. But if you think about using like a lot of smaller pieces of fiber to twist it together, you're going to get a lot of like flyaways, right? Because at some point that fiber ends and then it just flicks up.
Yes, I feel so much smarter. This makes so much sense to me. Okay, so we're talking about cotton, but cotton is not the only material that thread is made out of, right?
No, I think cotton is just like the first one that comes to mind because so many quilters kind of, that's like their go-to thread of choice. So sure. We talk a lot about cotton and things like that, but there's actually so many options for thread that can go into pretty much any project. People are always like, oh, what's the best thread I can use? But it really depends on the context of what you're doing as well, because although you can use like cotton in your quilting, you can also use cotton in embroidery as well, and it gives you a really cool like matte finish kind of look if you try something like that. And the reverse as well, like I know a lot of people use like rayon and trilobal polyester for machine embroidery, but you could actually use those threads in your quilts as well. But obviously there's like different circumstances that make them like more or less preferable, and so you just kind of have to understand the characteristics. Like you don't even have to understand them like on a really in-depth level, but just understanding what each thread does a little bit will make it really easy when you choose thread for your next project. Like knowing that rayon is a little bit more delicate, so even if you use that in a quilt, it should be more like an art quilt, something that's not going to get washed a lot. But you can definitely use cotton for something that's going to experience a lot more like wear or get washed all the time, because it's not affected as much by water as well, whereas rayon weakens a little bit in water. So you definitely only want to use that in a decorative capacity. You don't want to use that for like the construction of your quilt for sure.
But polyester is really strong for construction of a quilt, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Polyester is really strong, but also polyester is like a super kind of general term, because there's a huge umbrella of like different types of polyester thread that can range from polyester that looks almost like cotton to like polyester that's really shiny that you think about when you reach for like an embroidery thread. So to kind of generally be like, oh, polyester is good for quilting or polyester is bad for quilting, you can't really say that because there's just so many different types. And I wouldn't say that like all polyesters are bad or all polyesters are good, but you definitely need to like understand that there's different types and that they're good for different situations. For example, like an all-purpose polyester is kind of fuzzy, and we use that a lot for like sergers and things like that. The thread has a little bit of like stretch to it as well, just a little bit, which is actually good for like garment construction and things like that, because you don't want your seams to pop. You want it to have like a little bit of give. But if you're thinking about that for like your seams and quilting, like that's probably less desirable because you don't want to end up with something that might like pucker or things like that.
Yeah.
Whereas there's, you know, like we talked about Invisifil, we also have like Decobob. Those two types of polyesters that we have are cottonized polyester. So it's not like a trilobal polyester, but it's not like the spun polys where it looks like cotton. It's more like the type that has like no lint on it. And we actually treat that thread so it doesn't have any stretch to it. It's not going to be affected by heat. And it's a really strong thread as well. And it's great for sewing in your seams. It's great for EPP and kind of just like quilting overall.
So EPP, that's English paper piecing, for anyone who hasn't tried it yet. And if you haven't, I don't know what's stopping you. You definitely should try it. And Wonderfill is what the Invisifil is what I use for my English paper piecing, because it is 100 weight. And so when I first started quilting, the choice of what thread do you want, it came down to color, right? Like, what thread do I want to use for this project? Oh, I'm going to use a red thread, or I'm going to use a green thread. And those were that was totally valid. And then we got to a point where I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to use a neutral thread, like a gray thread for everything. And then I don't have to switch out my threads all the time. but then it's like, oh, wait, are you going to use a 40 weight thread? Or are you going to use a 50 weight thread? I think it was when I started machine quilting that I was really introduced to like the different weights of, oh, you should use a 40 weight thread because it's going to be a little thicker and it's going to have your quilting, your machine quilting is going to pop out a little more. Oh, whoa. So those numbers mean something. and then I learned about the 100 weight thread that y'all have. So the bigger the number, the smaller the thread. Yes.
Yes. So the higher the number, the finer the thread, and the lower the number, the thicker the thread. It's kind of, I almost feel like it's a little bit counterintuitive in a way, but that's why we kind of use this analogy all the time called the sausage theory to help people remember thread weight, which is...
yeah, it's I can't wait to hear like, this. Tell me.
Yeah. So it's summertime, so this is actually relevant now. So imagine if you're having a barbecue, okay? Mm-hmm. And you have a pound of meat that you've prepared, and you're going to turn that meat into like sausages for the party. And so you invite 10 people over. So kind of just like visualize in your head like how thick each sausage would be for those 10 guests. And now imagine if word gets out and suddenly there's like 50 people coming to your barbecue and you still only have that 1 pound of meat that you have to feed everyone with. So you're really going to stretch them out and make them real thin so everyone can still get, you know, a portion of food or a sausage at your party. So the less people, the thicker the sausage they can have, and the more people you have coming, the less they get with the same amount of material.
The difference being that if you come to a barbecue, you're not hoping for skinny sausage because, I mean, when do you want like not like a plate full of meat at a barbecue, right?
Yes, this is true. This is not an ideal barbecue whatsoever.
But with threads, sometimes you do want that skinny thread because English paper piecing with that handwork, you're making these really tiny stitches and you want them to be as invisible as possible at the end.
Yeah, for sure. So I think that really comes into that's a big factor, right? Like that no longer becomes just like a color choice thing. Switching to a different thread weight totally impacts the end result of your work. And using different weights of thread can really change how something looks. If you like quilted something with like 100 weight versus quilting something with like 50 weight versus quilting something with 12 weight, it's like totally different looks. And people are always like, which one's best? But really, most of the time, there's not like truly like a best because it really depends on what everyone's personal preferences. It really depends on how you want it to look or what the final result you want to achieve with it is.
No, that makes sense. It's similar to drawing a picture with like a pencil versus drawing it with a pen versus drawing it with a Sharpie. Like,
exactly.
Is the picture better as a pencil drawing than a Sharpie drawing or a pen drawing? I mean, it depends on the result that you wanted. And so you pick the tool, in this case, the thread or the pen, based on the result that you want it to look like at the end.
Exactly. And like, a lot of times people are afraid to use like different thread weights in their machines, but it's kind of like you have these really awesome sewing machines. So you shouldn't be afraid to like play. It's kind of like if you were told you could only ever use like watercolor with this paintbrush and you weren't allowed to use any other type of paint ever with it. Like that would be really limiting. And so I feel like I think about, you know, quilting in the same way. You're kind of creating your own art and your own vision, and you can really use so many different options, and it's actually all mostly okay.
Definitely. And if you don't get the result that you want, maybe you get something better, or maybe you go, oh, that's what that does, and you learn from it. So you're coming out winning no matter what.
Yeah, like your sewing machine at home takes anything from like 100 weight all the way to like a 12 weight thread. So there's really so many different options to play with. And we kind of talked about like polyester and cotton, but there's like rayons and metallics and all sorts of stuff. We have like glow in the dark thread as well, or reflective thread. Like there's a lot of like different kinds of fun thread to play with. And it's not just about the color. There's different weights, there's different material types, they have different sheens, and it all gives a different look. And you don't have to stick with one type of thread in the same quilt as well. Like you can definitely play with like 12 weight over here and like 100 weight over here. In fact, I usually really encourage that because it creates a lot of like layers in your quilting and like creates a lot of like dimension if you have some thread that pops out more and like some areas that like recede a little bit more.
Yes. Now, I think it was at that first quilt market where I met you that I learned about 12 weight thread. And I mean, it changed my life. It was like, wait, what is this? So 12 weight thread, it's almost like as thick as like a pearl cotton or almost like an embroidery floss. Not quite, but it's getting close to that. And it's the thickest thread that you can get on a normal sewing machine. So normally when we see things like yarns quilted onto fabric, people have couched it on there, which is a whole different mm-hmm. technique. But with your 12 weight thread, I could just run it through my regular sewing machine and I stitch a little slower because of how thick it is. But other than that, like you can just stitch away with this 12 weight.
For sure. You just have to change your needle. That's mainly it. Like just use like a larger needle eye, like a top stitch 9014 or something like that. But yeah, the other thing as well is like, sometimes I always tell people there's a price for pretty. Like if you want to use like the metallics or like more specialty threads, sometimes like just slow down your speed. Most of the time that's the main thing when people are like, oh, my metallic breaks all the time. I'm like, slow down. Use the right needle, and usually that fixes most of the problems.
When you're playing with pretty threads, enjoy the ride, slow down, enjoy that view. Yes. So this is a podcast all about notions, and I consider thread a notion because I think anything other than fabric or your sewing machine falls in the notion category. But Wonderfill actually has like thread notions, so like accessories to help your thread.
We do.
Can you talk about some of those? Like I can talk about some of the ones that I've been playing with, but I'd love to hear you talk about them. And if you don't mention the ones that I love, I'll make sure to bring them up.
For sure. I think one of the ones that have been really popular lately is a notion that we launched last year, I believe. It's called the Ultimate Thread Dispenser. I wish we had like a video so I could like kind of just show how it works. I've never had to verbally explain.
I'll link in the show notes to all these things, but it is fun. I mean, a lot of people are listening to podcasts while they're sewing, so they don't want to get up and go look at something. They want to hear us try to describe it to them, and then they can look it up later and see if we did a good job.
See how closely we did.
Yes.
But yeah, it's essentially a little tool that's going to sit on your spool pin, and the spool kind of sits on its own base itself, and it turns with very little effort. And it turns really smoothly as well. And so there's also a little thread feeder that you kind of like thread your thread through. And then you sit the whole contraption onto your sewing machine and feed it through your machine as normal. And the reason why we have this is so that your spool, when the thread comes off, it's getting fed out perpendicular. And so it reduces issues that sometimes happen with especially more specialty threads or threads that are more slippery that can pool, or things like just making the metallic work a little bit nicer because it doesn't induce any extra twist in the thread when it comes off the spool. Because when it comes off the spool, usually the thread kind of like comes off around the spool, but sometimes that can cause issues with tension or just adding extra twist to the thread that if it's more of a finicky thread can have problems sometimes. And when the thread is coming off the spool perpendicular versus like how it usually comes off where it like kind of goes around and then comes off the thread, it gives it like a more even tension throughout when it comes off the spool and like feeds into your machine. And it's kind of like how the spool was wound is how it's coming off as well. And we have these like huge machines that like wind these threads perfectly with perfect tension. So when it can come off the same way, there's no extra like pull or twist that's happening to the thread. And it just kind of reduces issues that happen with sewing with specialty threads sometimes, especially metallics. Like, we definitely recommend this tool a lot to people that like to sew with metallic thread, because metallic has the best memory of any thread, so it remembers its shape on the spool, so it likes to like curl itself up a lot of the times, and using a tool like this really just like straightens out the thread before it goes into your machine, so you don't get any of those issues with it twisting up on itself or like kind of breaking before it even goes into your machine as well.
So I have one of these, and I was hoping that this was one of the ones that you would talk about, because I loved it the first time I tried it. And to me, I described it as like a little merry-go-round for your spool. So your spool sits on top.
Okay, you're doing a much better job than me already.
No, that's okay. Like, I mean, this is also a job of podcast host. Let me repeat what you said, but in different words. And between our two sets of words, maybe the image will have been created. So it's a little like merry-go-round for your spool that sits on there. But it, instead of like when I was a kid on like, what do you call them? Did we call them merry-go-rounds? The spinny things at the park where like you'd have a friend on the outside and they would like kick and kick and kick to like push the merry-go-round as fast as you could, right? This doesn't have that crazy friend making it go too fast, because you're the crazy friend like stepping on the pedal, making it go really fast. And this helps control it. So you talked about that pooling of thread when your spool of thread has that residual spin that keeps that centripetal force of it keeps going around, and now it loosens all that thread and it pools on the bottom. So the next time that you start and you push on that pedal to keep going, that pooling gets tight and ends up almost creating a knot where then your thread snaps.
Yeah. And like, I want to say like this feeds your machine the exact amount of thread it needs. Like, it's not going to have extra slack anywhere.
It was just magical. And I actually got it because I have a baby lock machine. I'm a baby lock ambassador, and I have a baby lock machine that I covered in rhinestones, because why wouldn't you do that? That's a very normal thing for people to do, right?
Amazing.
But the spool, to get the spool to feed off properly, now that the base has been covered in rhinestones, like, you could put a little felt pad there and that does an okay job, but I wanted to use a metallic thread, because why would you have a blinged out machine and then not use blinged out thread? That's just silly. So I got some of your right. So I got some wonderful metallic thread to actually, I do piece with it, but not a lot, not with a metallic. I do a bit, a little bit, because it's just fun. And that's when I started playing with that. See, and to me, it's called a spool holder, but you had a better name for it. It actually has a right name.
It has a name, the ultimate thread dispenser.
Ultimate thread dispenser, yes. And it just works so well. And it's not like a big obtrusive thing on the machine either. If you have it at like a retreat, people aren't going to go, I mean, what is that? And if they do, it's like, ooh, what is that? It looks cool. But you have some other like thread-specific notions. I know you were showing me you have a special like caddy holder for all your thread as well.
Are you talking about the thread tamer?
Is it the thread shelf?
Oh, the thread bank.
There you go. Yes, the thread bank.
Yes. Yeah, the thread bank is also like one of our newer notions. Now, this one's not one that actually helps you sew, but it could in a way that it helps you organize all the thread that you have in your sewing room. So people often ask, kind of like how to best store thread. The main thing that we say, I mean, thread usually isn't too fussy to store. The main thing I would just say is just don't keep it in direct sunlight, because the UV can like degrade it and like the color and stuff like that over time. But A Thread Bank is a really nifty storage device. I know a lot of us have like kind of like racks with like the pins that we put on the wall, and like we usually like to have it organized by color and it looks really aesthetic. That is really nice, but then it's also
guilty when you I'm add, so guilty.
You're guilty of that?
Oh, I have a huge, like, it's like a double rack of thread that's in the background of a lot of my videos. Yep, 100%. Totally have it. Yep.
You know, but if you end up adding, if it's like in rainbow order or something, if you end up adding like three spools of red and two spools of blue, then you have to shift everything over by like three spools to put the reds back in the red section and like to keep it all like color coordinated still. Like it's just, it's like nice, but it's not a quick, easy system sometimes.
Oh,
but
sure.
Again, this is just like another option for people to have. But what this thread bank is, it essentially like fits onto any shelf. And they're kind of like mini shelves themselves of thread. So you can like organize them. We have like spots in the front so you can like label it. And so it just tucks into your wall or into your shelf. And the cool thing is when you pull the shelf out, it actually does like a 90 degree turn. So then you can like see all your threads in front of you and easily take one out or like put new ones in and then turn it back and slide it into your wall.
Like those really fancy spice shelves that people like to throw the spices in. Except this one, when you pull it out, it turns 90 degrees. So you're not having to like tilt your head over to the side and try to like look at it. It tilts to
the
side.
Or you don't have to pull the whole system. Yeah, you don't have to pull the whole system out. It just like easily glides out on these rails and then turns to the side. So then you can see all the different thread colors that you have, or if you want to add more inside. They're easy to just like take out and put back in. And they're easy to organize as well.
Yes. Now you mentioned the thread tamer as well. We're just going to go through a whole list of Notions. Right?
Thread Notion. Well, it is a Notions podcast.
Right?
You know, we got to talk about all
I do. Stuff. I legit love Notions. 100%.
Yeah, the thread tamer was, I think that was actually our first Wonderfill Notion. I hope I'm not wrong about that, but I do think that was kind of like the first one that we put out. And that was, it's kind of created for sewing with specialty threads as well, especially with, this was before we had the Ultimate Thread Dispenser. And so it's kind of like a thread stand, but there's actually three pins in the back instead of like one single pin. And the reason is sometimes if you want to sew with two threads through the needle eye, then you can place them in the back of the thread tamer and then feed it up kind of through the thread stand together. And so it just like is able to kind of like feed multiple strands through versus just using one thread at a time when you sew. And the bottom of the thread stand also has couching slots. So if you like to do couching, the threads feed through the bottom, so then you can kind of have like a really nice way of like feeding not just one thread through there as well. You can feed up to three for the couching slots. Also, it comes with a horizontal spool pin as well for more cop size spools again, so then you can feed the thread off perpendicular from the cops and get those to work easier and nicer as well.
What did you call it? A cop size spool?
Yeah, cop size spool. It's kind of, they're just like smaller spools.
Okay. So like the size that Invisifil comes on?
Even smaller than that, actually. They're like a little bit shorter, not as long as the Invisifil small ones.
Oh, okay. I'm learning all kinds of new things and getting so much smarter. that's really why I'm doing
podcasts.
Yeah,
but it's kind of... So then you can learn as well.
Because I want to learn all these things, right?
For sure. No, yeah. So like this tool is also just kind of like for sewing in more ways and using more than one thread to sew as well. It can also just be used as a regular thread stand also. So it's like a multifunctional tool.
So cool. All right. And there's Wonder Guard.
Yeah, Wonder Guard is kind of like a self-adhesive tape kind of thing. They're cut to size for a spool. And so you can actually sew with them on or you can just use them as thread storage as well, because like you just wrap it tightly around the spool so the thread doesn't come loose when you're storing it away. Because you know, some threads just like to pool a little bit even when you're not sewing with them, like the more slippery threads.
Yeah, they just jump off and dangle down all over.
Exactly. So then you could use something like that to wrap around your threads so they just like stay nice and clean and organized as well. Or if you know you don't use some spools as much, it just keeps the dust off of it. But when you are using these on your machine, which you can do, it's different than like a thread net where it, I feel like thread nets actually kind of just like end up pulling up sometimes from the spool. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really help regulate the thread off the spool that well. But the great thing about Wonder Guard is you can use it for your storage. You can also use it when you're sewing with it. And what you want to do is when you are sewing with it, loosen it so it forms more of like a sleeve around the thread. And you know you've done it right when you kind of pick up the Wonder Guard and it kind of moves a little freely on the spool. Like it's not wrapped super tight around such that you can't like move the Wonder Guard up and down on it. When you can like move it up and down, then you know that's about how loose you want it to be. And then you just kind of thread your thread through like normal on your machine. It kind of does something similar to the Ultimate Thread Dispenser where it just prevents extra thread from coming off. So you don't get like too much extra slack and you don't get like as much pooling happening. But this is more for if you're sewing with it on your horizontal spool pin, because on a vertical spool pin, the thread would want to feed off the side. So it wouldn't really work with the Wonder Guard that way, unless you had it on a thread stand.
Oh, see, and I always thought it was just kind of like plastic wrap for your spools, but like cut to size and perfect for the size of your spools. But you can actually use it while you're using your thread.
Exactly. Yeah. We have actually a lot of like videos on our YouTube channel as well. So if people are interested or want to know how it works a little bit more, they can always check it out on there.
That's awesome. And definitely I will link all of that in the show notes as well so people can find these. I don't know who's in charge of naming the notions, but I definitely want to know who named the Bobbinator.
Okay, you know, actually, that's like the one tool Andrew didn't name. So Andrew is our founder. He's also my dad.
I love that you call him Andrew. That's hilarious.
I know. It's just it's a habit when I'm at work. But when he usually names every product that we have. But I remember when he came out with this tool, which is the Bobbinator, he was kind of like stuck on what to name it, I think. And we ended up just doing a poll around the office and everyone submitted different names. And I think someone submitted Bobbinator and that was the one that won. So that's the one we went with.
That's awesome. Give them a raise immediately.
I know, right? I think it's one of the most memorable product names that we have.
So how does the Bobbinator work? What does it do? Why do we need one in our lives?
So the Bobbinator is this little device. It almost looks like a little bit of a tube shape, and there's two compartments to it. So on one side, so like in this tube, there's kind of like a divider, and it divides one compartment to hold three spools, and then it divides another compartment to hold, or not spools, sorry, three bobbins, and it divides another compartment to hold one bobbin. And the compartment that holds one bobbin actually has a slit in it. So you can actually feed your bobbin thread through that slit while it's inside this Bobbinator. And you can use the Bobbinator on your sewing machine to sew. Like you can turn your bobbin thread into normal sewing thread. So that's kind of one usage of it. You can use your bobbin thread, especially if you have kind of random bobbins laying around where you want to use like the last bit of thread. It's a great way to kind of use up that thread and be able to sew with it on the top.
Yep. I love using that thread, those random bobbin bits for making rope bowl cozy, like the rope bowls.
Yeah.
So zigzagging with all the different random, using up all those threads. Fabulous for that.
Yeah. One way that's actually a great way to do, to use it. And another thing is, a lot of people love to EPP or applique with our deco bob, which is the 80 weight thread that we have. And so all our pre-wound bobbins are wound with this 80 weight deco bob. And so with the bobbinator, it kind of becomes like a little bit of a transportation device as well, where you can like store a couple colors, and it keeps all your threads neat and tidy within this one device. And it's easy to kind of like carry around in your pouch or in your little sewing kit when you're kind of like stitching on the road or wherever you are, or if you just want to like pull out a couple threads. It's just like a really easy organizational tool, and you can put a bunch of bobbin colors in it, and it's just it's just great for that.
And when someone asks you, what is that? You can say, oh, that's my bobbinator.
Yeah, exactly. Yes,
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know a lot of people really like using that for kind of like their hand sewing and just carrying like a couple colors around. It makes it really easy, especially if you ever go to like classes or like retreats and things like that, and you just need like a little bit of thread and you don't want to carry like big spools around. Like, this is perfect, especially because like the Deco Bob pre-wound bobbins hold so much thread on them. The class 15 ones hold like 135 yards each. So even in this like really small device, which is probably a couple inches tall, it can hold 400 to 500 yards of thread in a few different colors.
That's crazy. Like, I don't sports team, so I don't know how many football fields that is, but it's a lot of football fields. It's a lot of them. Oh, and yeah. I love that you use yards, because you're in Canada, and in Canada, are y'all yards people, or are you meters people in Canada?
We're on the metric system. I feel like sometimes it's a little bit of a mix, though, maybe because we are so close to you guys. But like, most things are mainly metric. But because I come and do a lot of events and stuff in the US, and a lot of our customers are in the US, I've kind of like learned to do like some quick conversions in my head. But you know, like the one I can't figure out is like Celsius and Fahrenheit. I get very confused with that one.
No, nobody can do that one in their head. That one. No.
Yeah.
No, it's really, really cold. And then someone tells you a number. They're like, it's this many cold. And you go, oh, wow, that's cold. That's the answer.
Yeah.
Like, you don't actually know. You don't know the translation, what that is. It's just a number. And they're impressed with how cold it is. So that's really cold. Or it's so hot. It is this many hot. Oh, wow. That's really hot.
Usually we don't have to talk about how hot it is, because like where our head office is in Calgary, it doesn't get like that scorching hot. But usually in the winter, that's when it gets really cold, and I often tell more stories about how cold it is.
Yeah,
it's, but yeah,
summer here, and we've been having a heat wave, and where my mom lives, I think it got to 117 Fahrenheit, and I don't know what that is in Celsius, but I can tell you that's really, really hot. It's really hot.
I can kind of imagine, because last year I was in Palm Springs for a event, and it was in July, and I think it was like 110, and I think that was like the hottest I've been in my life. So I can't even imagine it being 7 degrees hotter.
No, your body just starts cooking at that point. The world is just trying to bake you, and it's not fun.
I was going to say, I know we got a little off topic, but we were kind of talking about bobbins.
Yes.
And I wanted to say, bobbins are actually I feel like that's an important notion to talk about too, because I know a lot of people maybe don't think that there's really like a need for pre-wound bobbins sometimes, but pre-wound bobbins, I would say, I talk about the convenience factor last. It is really nice to not have to wind your own bobbin, and that is a big feature of pre-wound bobbins. But the thing is, pre-wounds actually give you like better tension, and the results of your stitching are going to be they're going to be noticeably better than a self-wound bobbin.
Ooh,
because these bobbins are wound so perfectly at the factory, and they have perfect tension on them. So especially if you're doing like embroidery, it's very noticeable, and if you're doing multi-directional sewing, you're not going to get any additional kind of like tension problems from the bobbin, at least. And it is kind of important, because you're moving your machine and kind of like moving it side to side. You don't want there to be any additional like tension issues, whether that's from your bobbin or your top thread, that makes your thread break while you're doing all your like free motion quilting.
So I've heard some people say that you should put the same thread in your bobbin that you have on the top, but that's not the case, right?
No, absolutely not. Especially because, like, you know, earlier we were talking about 12-weight thread, right?
Yeah.
There's no way that 12-weight thread on the top and bottom of your machine would work well. I think your machine would be making a lot of clunky noises if that happened. So it's definitely a myth that I would like to bust here today. You know, you don't need to have the same thread top and bottom to get... I know people usually think that's the thing to get their tension to match and be correct and stuff like that. But you can use any thread on the top that's from 100 weight to 12 weight. For the bobbin thread, though, we usually do like to recommend a lighter weight thread. For one, a finer thread is going to last longer in your bobbin, so you don't have to change it as often, which is always a plus. Two, there's no reason usually you would want to add more weight or bulk to your projects than you actually need. Like, there wouldn't be a purpose to use more thread than you actually need in your quilt. And so by using a lighter weight thread, you're making your quilts like softer. If you're using like a lighter weight thread, it won't be as stiff. And especially with machine embroidery as well, using a lighter weight bobbin thread, your embroidery is going to feel a lot softer than if you used 40 weight top and bottom. It's going to be a lot more stiff. And sometimes that just doesn't look nice either. If like you have a embroidery that just like never moves on your shirt and it looks like kind of like a little like plate on your chest, you know? And so using lighter weight thread is often preferable, especially if you're piecing as well, because you want to reduce the bulk in your seams whenever you can. So then you get flatter seams and it's easier to match everything up. But yeah, I would definitely say lighter weight thread in your bobbin, and then it doesn't really matter what you have with it on the top. I always say your threads are kind of just like holding hands, and you don't have to be the same height to hold hands in real life. You can be a tall person and a short person and you can still hold hands. And that's the same with your thread. They can be a higher weight thread and a lower weight thread and they can still get along fine. And I would also say, like, if you're worried about, you know, how your stitches look or your tension or anything like that, it's always good to kind of sew on like a test piece. So if you're going to be quilting on a quilt sandwich, then test it on a quilt sandwich, you know, like replicate your stitches on the same thing you're about to sew on, because I'll give you the most accurate test. If you kind of like tension your machine on a single piece of fabric versus then going to your quilt sandwich and wondering why it doesn't look the same anymore, like it's because your machine is not tensioned. So it, you know, for the same, you know, amount of material that you're about to sew on. So it's really important that when you test your tension as well, that you're testing it on the same type of thing that you're about to sew on, so you can get the most accurate representation of how it's going to look like.
That makes total sense. And you mentioned something and you said it really quick, but I think it's really huge, especially since your pre-wound bobbins are all the 80 weight deco bob. When I sew, usually our top thread is somewhere like a 40 weight thread is pretty common for a top thread, or maybe like a 50 weight somewhere in there. Yeah, probably 50 weight, right? So 50 weight thread is pretty common.
Yes.
And your bobbins are an 80 weight, which means that you've got more sausage for less people, which means your thread is skinnier. So that means you got more sausage on that bobbin to be able to have it last longer, and you get more seams out of that bobbin because it's that finer thread.
Exactly. Yeah. Because it's like finer, it lasts a lot longer, which is a plus, because no one loves changing their bobbins all the time.
No.
And
shocking. Yeah, none of us love it.
No. And it's actually really crazy, because I feel like if you sew a seam and you kind of use like your normal thread, if you go like or normally what you do and you use like a 50 weight top and bottom versus if you go and use like an 80 weight top and bottom for your piecing, you're going to be able to tell immediately how much flatter all your seams lay. And with using lighter weight threads for piecing, you're actually able to reduce your stitch length and get a stronger seam because you have more stitches per inch holding it together. And it still is flatter than using 50 weight top and bottom.
That's so
awesome. And you get more accuracy as well because you have a shorter stitch length. So if you're, especially if you're doing projects that are like small, or if you have curves in your project, or you need really precise piecing, using a finer weight thread is amazing for that.
That's, I mean, you're like, and here's all the reasons that it's so good. And I'm just sitting here nodding, which I'm assuming everyone else is as well. We're just nodding. Oh yeah. Yep. That makes sense. Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm sold. I'm sold. Oh, this has been so fun chatting with you. Is there anything else that we want to make sure to add?
I mean, honestly, this is going to become like a 2-hour episode, I think, if I keep talking about different types of thread. But maybe. I think we covered a lot of our notions that we have. And we did cover a little bit of like understanding some thread basics and stuff like that. So I hope this actually gets people interested in learning more about thread as well. And like you said earlier, a lot of the times, the first thing you think about is really choosing what color versus like thinking about the make of the thread or like the weight of the thread. But I hope people start thinking about those as well and realizing what a difference thread can make in your work.
Yes, for sure. And people have to let us know if they want you back for season 2, where we can just go through the whole lineup of all the different threads. I don't know. That might be cross between season 2 and season 3, if depending on how much we have to talk about the weather.
Anytime, just let me know.
All right. Let people know where they can find you. And also, you have Threducators if they know a shop and they want to have their shop bring in a Threducator, or they've got a guild that should bring in a Threducator, right?
Exactly. So first of all, I'll start with our social media. You guys can find us on Instagram at Wonderful Specialty Thread. And we post lots of hints and tips and like thread knowledge on there. So definitely follow along, and a lot of inspiration as well. We have a Facebook that's Wonderful. I think you just look Wonderful Specialty Threads as well, and a YouTube page as well, which we show sometimes technique-based videos, sometimes project-based videos. And you can also join our newsletter if you want to know what events we'll be at. Sometimes we do make and takes, like educational sessions at events that we'll be at. And for, you know, whether you're a store owner or if you're part of a guild that's looking for more thread education, we do events as well. So you can reach out to us anytime on any of our social platforms or on our website, wonderful.ca. There's a contact us section, so you can find us there or email us there as well. But any way that you choose to contact us, I'm sure we'll get back to you no matter where it is.
You are awesome. Thank you so much for this time. I've learned so much. I hope everyone else has learned more as well, and even maybe has questions that they want to go find the answers to and learn more about thread. So thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me. It was so fun talking about thread today.
Bye. Friends, that's our episode for today. I hope you loved it as much as I loved having this conversation. Remember that you can find all the details that we talked about in the show notes, and those are all at ilovenotions.com. And make sure to leave this podcast a review in your favorite podcasting app. Leaving it a review will help the podcast algorithm show this podcast to other people who love Notions just as much as we do. Friends, that's all I have for you today, but I will see you right here real soon. Bye for now.